Welcome to the weekly podcast from City Light Church in Lethbridge. For more teaching or to find out more about life at CLC, please visit our website at citylightchurch.ca.
We've been talking about love and love God and love people. Last week, Cam gave a really good impacting message. And he talked about how great God's love is. And how that should persuade us to live differently. Because God's love is so amazing. God's love is so amazing because God himself is love. Love is God. God is love. You know, without God, we will not have the ability to love. And it says that we love because God first loved us. Becoming a Christian, discipleship, this lifestyle, it's all rooted, deeply rooted in love. As an institution, the church, we should be leading the way in showing love to everyone. As Christians, we live in the image of Christ, and we need to reflect the love of God to those around us. So when we get together in a group, that love should be amplified. I mean, like, look how many people are in this room. Every one of our loves should be added on to the person next to us and keep adding and building and building until there's an explosion of love, a love bomb, if you will. At least that's how I see it. Fortunately, doesn't always happen this way. Sometimes instead of showing love, the church can show some other not so desirable traits. You know, these include, but they're not limited to, things like pride, selfishness, entitlement, gossip, anger, hypocrisy. You hear these words a lot with the church. So where does this disconnect come from? What happens? You know, why are we called to reflect the image of God, and yet so often we end up showing things that just aren't in God's nature? I believe these traits stem from a spirit of religion. Now you might say, aren't we all religious? Yes, in the fact that we believe in Christ and we practice his teachings in a manner that will bring us closer to God, that's religion. But I think where we miss the point and we run into problems is when we look at our motives. Our foundation for following Christ cannot be built on acts and rituals to set us apart from the world. You know, the foundation on which we build the life that sets us apart from the world must always be built on love. Sometimes we miss the point. The point's not to love God so much and work so hard at, like, living this great life and not sin, because it's not going to happen. You're not going to be able to do it. The point isn't to love God at the sacrifice of the well-being of people around you. It's not like to get ahead. It's not like when you're in class and you want to be the teacher's pet. That's not how God looks at us. I love this series. You know, love God, love people. We find it easy to love God, don't we? I mean, God never has bad breath. God never talks about you behind your back. God doesn't get in your space. God doesn't get in your face. God doesn't try to challenge you in a fight. He would win, but he just doesn't do that unless you're Jacob. But God's pretty easy to love, isn't he? But the series is titled Love God, Love People. We miss the point. Sometimes we're so focused on loving God that we simply forget to love people. Let's open a word of prayer. Dear God, I thank you so much that you've brought the people who you've brought here today. I'd ask that you'd be with me as I give this message, God, and may these words impact the people and the ears that hear it, God. We just pray for a moving of your spirit here today, Father. Amen. So there's a story in the Bible that illustrates people missing the point. The story is found in Luke 10, starting around verse 30, and that picture there. It's about the Good Samaritan, and it's a parable that Jesus tells. So this parable starts out with a guy going for a walk, just like any good story. So this guy's going for a walk. He's going from Jerusalem on his way to Jericho. On his walk, though, he gets jumped by a group of people. You know, they circle boot him, they take all his clothes, and they leave him for dead. Steal all his possessions. So he's lying on the road and he's dying. This guy's in serious need of some help, or else his life's going to be ended. So there's a man that first happens to come upon him, and he's a priest. This is a religious leader who loves God so much that he's dedicated his entire life to serving God. This priest, he's an upstanding member of society. People look up to him. He's got amazing morals, a great moral compass. He's got God to lead him. So this guy's not going to only get help, but he's going to get help from someone who's in constant relationship with God. Or so he thinks. This priest sees the man, and he decides not to help. He actually crosses to the other side of the road, walks on by. It's like unbelievable. So this guy's still lying there. He's still dying. He's still in need of help. The next guy that comes up is a Levite. Now, Levites are also really close to God. These men are basically part of God's family. They're descendants from the tribe of Levi, and God has chosen these people. So surely the Levite's going to help. But no, the Levite does exactly what the priest does. He sees the guy there. He walks to the other side of the road, walks on by, goes about his business. It's not his problem. And finally, the third guy to come along is a Samaritan. Samaritan Jews, they didn't see things eye to eye. They didn't believe necessarily exactly the same things about God. So maybe the Samaritan's not going to help. But Jesus said that when he saw the injured man, the Samaritan had compassion on him. Compassion is deeply rooted in love. Compassion is love put into action. It's more than just a word. The Samaritan has compassion on this guy. And because of this, he decides to take action. He bandages his wounds. He lifts him up, puts him on his donkey. He takes him to the nearest inn. He spends the entire night with this guy tending to his wounds. A complete stranger. And then he pays and leaves a bunch of money to the innkeeper so that it will cover the cost while he's there. And he even tells the innkeeper that, I'll come back later and I'm going to pick up the tab. Whatever this guy owes, I'm going to pay it. That's going above and beyond. No one asked him to do that. He didn't have to do that. The priest and the Levite missed the point. These are men of God, but they did not show love to people around them. I'm sure the Levite and the priest, if you asked them, could have came up with a lot of reasons why they did what they did. You know, they could have justified it. Maybe that this guy's unclean, and they're a little higher, and they don't want to touch this guy. Whatever it was. But I think sometimes in our lives, we do the same thing. We justify the wrongs that we're doing. We say we have right reasons for doing them, so it's okay, and we can convince ourselves to live things that are contrary to the Bible, just because we're like, you know what, I'm doing it for the right reasons, and it's good. So we always need to like be accountable and test things against Scripture and against what God tells us. The Samaritan understood the greater truth. That people matter. Doesn't matter if they have different beliefs. Doesn't matter if they're from a different race or background. Doesn't matter if they're a different lifestyle. You know, people matter. Even if they're covered in blood, naked and dying, that life still matters. Jesus tells this parable in response to someone asking, who is my neighbor? Because we're called to love our neighbor in the Bible. And the neighbor are not just the people in your actual neighborhood. They're not the people that look like you and act like you. You know, the neighbor is not the people from your clique in high school. I never really got cliques in high school. We got jocks, you got cheerleaders, you got the nerds. People that come together because of similar interest, but never cross those invisible borders or watch out. You get ostracized, you get made fun of, you get picked on. Invisible borders, they existed in Jesus' time too. And what did Jesus do? He crossed those invisible borders, didn't he? He was always looking to defy what people thought was a clique. Jesus didn't belong to a clique. We should be willing to cross those invisible borders too today in the name of Jesus. Too often churches look like a clique. I mean, they hang out with similar people, they get together, and they just stay confined. They're not outward focused. When people walk through these doors, if you're like that, they're going to feel uncomfortable. They're going to feel judged. They're going to feel like, I don't belong here. These guys are weird. They're all saying things and acting in a way that I just don't get. Fortunately, that's not how Jesus lived. Are you able to love people like Jesus? If somebody stumbled into this church, and they were high, and they were naked, and they were bleeding all over the place, would that make you uncomfortable? It would make me uncomfortable, so it might make you uncomfortable. But we still need to love that individual. We need to have compassion, just like the Samaritan did, and show love. Passion is great. You know, when I worship, I show a lot of passion. And when I pray, I have a lot of passion. And when I watch the Leafs win the Stanley Cup next year, I'm going to exhibit a whole lot of passion. Passion's great, but compassion is even better. When the Samaritan saw the injured man, he had compassion, a feeling that led him to show mercy. The Samaritan took action because of his compassion. So you can say you love people, But they're just words if you don't put it into action. You need to have that compassion. You can say you love God, you can read your Bible, you can pray, you can go to church, you can live this good life, but without actually doing something for people in need, you're missing the point. So we need to love people in need. This is key. We need to notice those around us who are overlooked or ignored. Let's read Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 to 46. When he finally arrives, blazing in beauty and all his angels with him, the Son of Man takes his place on his glorious throne. Then all the nations will be arranged before him, and he's going to sort the people out, much as a shepherd sorts out sheep from the goats, putting sheep on his right and goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Enter you who are blessed by my Father. Take what's coming to you in this kingdom. It's been ready for you since the world's foundation, and here's why. I was hungry, and you fed me. I was thirsty, and you gave me a drink. I was homeless, and you gave me a room. I was shivering, and you gave me clothes. I was sick, and you stopped to visit. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then those sheep are going to say, "Master, what are you talking about? When did we ever see you hungry and feed you, thirsty and give you a drink? When did we ever see you sick or in prison and come to you?" Then the king will say, "I'm telling you the solemn truth. Whenever you did one of these things to someone overlooked or ignored, that was me. You did it to me." Then he's going to turn to the goats, the ones on his left, and say, "Get out, worthless goats. You're good for nothing but the fires of hell. And why? Because I was hungry and you gave me no meal. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was homeless and you gave me no bed. I was shivering and you gave me no clothes. Sick and in prison and you never visited." Then those goats are going to say, "Master, what are you talking about? When did we ever see you hungry or thirsty or homeless or shivering or sick or in prison and didn't help?" He will answer them, "I'm telling you the solemn truth. Whenever you failed to do one of these things to someone who was being overlooked or ignored, that was me. You failed me." Then those goats will be herded to their eternal doom, but the sheep to their eternal reward. Jesus says when we show love to people in need, to those overlooked or ignored, and we show compassion on them, we're actually doing it for Jesus. And by that same note, when we don't decide to help those people in need, we're not doing it for Jesus. That's heavy. It's pretty apparent from this verse, like as a church, we need to be showing love to people around us. Don't be like the priest and the Levite who missed the point. Don't be a goat. When I think about people who are not missing the point, I think about a man like Brian Thompson. Brian started Home of Hope. He dedicates a large amount of his time trying to save children. He literally is rescuing children from the dumps in Kenya. These mothers can't afford to take care of their newborn babies, so they decide to throw them out in the dump. I mean, that is the definition of helping people who can't help themselves. Completely helpless. Home of Hope is a place where these children, they come and they get fed, they get educated, and most importantly, they get taught about Jesus. And people get to see the love of God through Brian's actions. So love those in need. We're also called to love our enemies. Luke chapter 6, verse 35. "I tell you, love your enemies. Help and give without expecting a return. You'll never, I promise, regret it. Live out this God-created identity the way the Father lives towards us, generously, graciously. Even when we're at our worst, our Father is kind. You be kind." It might be easier to show love to those in need than to our enemies. You know, think about it for a minute. Think about a little puppy. So cute, so needy, so easy to help. Now compare that to a Doberman attack dog who's about to bite your head off. It's not as easy to show love to something like that. You may think, "Burton, I don't have any enemies. You know, this is Canada. We all say sorry, we're all nice to each other." But I say nay. I don't normally say nay, but I say nay. You do have enemies. People, these are just people in your life that rub you the wrong way. They get under your skin. They just drive you up the wall, right? And while we're on the subject of driving, I've never seen more enemies than when people get behind the wheel of a car. You know, as soon as we get into the road, it's like we're This beast is in a release. It's like the Hulk, the Incredible Hulk, right? You're not going to like me when I'm angry. And I think a Doberman about to bite your head off is a pretty apt description of somebody with road rage. They're just, it's so familiar and comparable. It's crazy, actually. Why do we lose it? So instead of getting so worked up the next time someone cuts you off and flipping them the bird, why don't you just smile and wave? Believe me, if you do that, it might make them a lot more angry, but it'll help you. And by doing that, you're kind of representing being a follower of Christ a little better, aren't you? But back to enemies. They're always going to be those people that rub you the wrong way. Maybe it's the parent of your kid's classmate who seems to always bring drama, who thinks that their kid can do no wrong, their kid is perfect. Love that person. Maybe it's the waiter at the restaurant who messed up your order and they don't even care to make it right. In fact, they just keep making it worse. Love them anyways. Still give them a tip. Your fellow Christian who disagrees with you at every point about how the church should be run or how you should be living your life. Or maybe they're telling you how to live your life. Just love them. Love, love, love. Not because these people deserve to be loved, but because God loved you so much that he sent his son to die for you, right? While you're still a dirty sinner. So represent God. Represent God's character. God loves those who are unlovable. Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. You're familiar with the old written law, love your friend, and its unwritten companion, hate your enemy. I'm challenging that. I'm telling you to love your enemies. Let them bring out the best in you, not the worst. When someone gives you a hard time, respond with the energies of prayer, for then you are working out of your true selves, your God-created selves. This is what God does. He gives his best, the sun to warm and the rain to nourish to everyone, regardless, the good and the bad, the nice and the nasty. If all you do is love the lovable, do you expect a bonus? Anybody can do that. If you simply say hello to those who greet you, do you expect a medal? Any run-of-the-mill sinner can do that. I can't really put it any better than that. I mean, these are Jesus' words, and God himself shows love to all humanity. He has no prejudice, right? He offers the sun for warmth to everybody, sinner, non-sinner, follower, non-follower, the rain to nourish to everybody. His blessings fall on everybody. So we need to represent God. We need to represent his character and the way he lives by loving people. And I love how the message puts this at the end. It's like, do you expect a medal if you say hi to someone who greets you? That's easy. We don't get rewarded for things that are easy. The Christ-centered life, it's not easy. It's not easy at all. It takes a lot of work, a lot of effort, but it's so rewarding. So make the difficult choice to show love to those people in your life where it doesn't come easy. Love those in need. Love your enemies. And next, love your friends. Love your friends? That kind of goes without saying, doesn't it? I mean, these are people in your life you actually get along with. You've chosen them to hang around with. You always love your friends, don't you? The thing is sometimes it's too easy. So easy, in fact, that you overlook doing it at all. Right? Those who are closest for us, it's easier to take for granted. We just expect they're always going to be there. They're always going to be our friend. We live in a busy world. We have schedules. We have careers. We have all these things we need to get done. We have those shows that we watch where we need to watch every single series and stay up to date. Important things, right? So we miss out on spending time with our friends. I believe it's healthy to have fewer close friends than to have many superficial relationships. Have fewer close friends than many superficial relationships. This way we're going to dedicate more time to fewer people. And you might say, well, what about my 500 friends on Facebook? Like, what about those, Burton? Sorry to say, those aren't your friends. And if you didn't know that already, it's time you woke up. They're not really your friends. You're going to be more successful, more satisfied, more fulfilled if you start making relationships that go deeper and are true and authentic and honest. Life isn't about making all the connections and being cool and being popular and knowing every single person in Lethbridge. You know, that's what high school was for. So leave that behind. Move on. Start to mature. Start to develop deeper relationships. If you are married, that person should be your spouse. Hands down, that's your primary earthly relationship. So husbands, spend time, give your wives attention, take time to do things that are nice for her. It's your priority. And wives, do the same. And apart from that, just find people in your life that who you invest in are going to give you a great return on that investment. That's the great thing about friendship. It's 50-50. And this is why I love small groups. I mean, at City Light Church, we really emphasize small groups. And it's because when you get into a small group, it's a place where you get closer as friends. You become family. It's a safe environment to share. You pray for one another. You get to learn about God together. The bonds that form in a small group, they get deeper and more intimate faster because of the authenticity that's in the air. You're open and honest about your true feelings, and it just breaks down walls way faster, way quicker. It's a perfect place to build deep, authentic relationships. So show love to your friends. Life's way too short to not have people that you really know and that truly know you. Stop hiding behind your fake self. Open up. Be honest. Jesus calls us friend, and he loved us so much that he died for us. We should be willing to do the same thing for our friends. So we're basically called to love all people, and friends, our enemies, those in need. People are way more important than things. Stuff comes and goes. But people, you know, it says that we're made in God's image. In God's image. Don't use that information to be full of pride and think like you're equal with God. You're not. But use that information to realize that the people around you are quite important. I mean, they're made in the image of God, and they need to be treated as so. Every single person, from the biggest person to the smallest person, which is why we need to remember to leave room to love children. Because sometimes it's not easy. You know, I have some nice possessions. And be sure that my 5 kids, you know, they're going to find a way to tear my new sofa, paint the walls, put another scratch in my truck, right? But these things used to bother me, but God's been working on my heart and softening my heart because kids are amazing. I mean, when you're surrounded by them, you just feel the love. You feel the how they're so authentic. They're so genuine. They don't have any facade to hide behind. They're not pretending to be someone else. What you see is what you get. And I just can't help but be in awe and wonder when I'm around children. They're these wide-eyed adventurers. And they always see the best in people. Children are the perfect example of how God loves us. Matthew chapter 19, verse 13. Probably know this story. One day children were brought to Jesus in the hope that he would lay hands on them and pray over them. The disciples shooed them off. But Jesus intervened. Let the children alone. Don't prevent them from coming to me. God's kingdom is made up of people like these. Kids will cry. Kids stink a lot. They break stuff. Sometimes they break each other. But that's okay. Get over it. God's kingdom is made up of people like these. We just need to have that innocent, love everybody spirit that children are born with. You know, we're made in the image of God, so when we first come into this world, we're just the closest to that image of God. That's why God says the kingdom is made of people like these. We need to start representing Christ, Christ-centered life. And that's the Christ-centered life is evident by the way we show love to people around us, plain and simple. I think I've covered most of the bases about loving people. So basically, just need to show love to all people. Churches and Christians miss the point all too often. Churches and Christians in those churches miss the point all too often. You know, sometimes instead of showing love, we end up showing hate. Lisa told me this story the other day about a guy she saw in the Walmart parking lot, and he had his pickup truck parked there, and he had all these signs plastered over it that said, "Repent, the kingdom is near." And I think he's missing the point. I mean, the kingdom might be near. Jesus said he's coming back. But you're not going to win anybody through fear, intimidation, or hate. They're not going to follow Jesus that way. We need to be bringing people to Christ through love and showing them love. You know, I see churches full of hate all over the place, just like these signs up here. You know, I have a thing with these signs that churches put up. I'm so thankful our church doesn't have this sign where they try to put something witty up every week, right? Some of these sayings can be cute, like, how do you make holy water? You boil the hell out of it? Something like that. Ha, ha, ha. You guys do not like my corny dad jokes as much as my kids. This is not cool. So it says, worship me or I will torture you forever. Have a nice day. / God. God never said that, so I don't know why you're saying that. Turn or burn. Well, that's a good one. There's a cycle class like that, but whoever stole our AC units, keep one. It is hot where you're going. That one's kind of funny. But still, I think they're missing the point. And the last one, actually, I think they get the point. It says, God prefers kind atheists over hateful Christians. And that one kind of stings a little bit because we feel like atheists are so bad. It's not our responsibility to convict people of how they live. That's what the Holy Spirit does. That's his job. But some churches, they need to feel that they need to take it on by themselves and they need to spread their message of hate. They miss the point. Without love, our words are empty. Anger and hate never led anyone to Jesus. Just look at Jesus' life when he was here on earth and how he lived. Jesus never said, get away from me, filthy sinner. Man, what are you doing here? You don't belong near me. You think Jesus would have helped that person on the side of the road? Absolutely. I mean, he healed people with leprosy. That's showing love to people in need. Jesus ate with tax collectors. They're the enemies of the state. Jesus was always showing love. Jesus hung out with prostitutes. Jesus stood up and defended adulterers. Do you get that? Do you see the churches everywhere doing that? Having that spirit? Why then do we miss the point? Church is not about pointing out other people's sins just to make yourself feel better about yourself. Jesus never did that. Jesus always, always showed love. And as a church, we need to show love because while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Everyone in this room is a sinner. You know, all sin is equal. I don't know when we got into this thing about categorizing sin. We feel like as a church, our sins might not be as bad as some of those worldly sins out there. Like, we keep our sins hidden and it's okay, and I might tell a white lie now and then, but that's not as bad as what some people are doing out in the world, those earthly sins. But the truth is, to God, sin is sin is sin is sin. So since we've accepted and experienced such great grace, then it's on us as a church to share that grace and share that love. That's what the church should be doing to people outside of these doors. Just love. Don't miss the point. Love people. Without love, our walk with God is completely meaningless, worthless, pointless. 1 Corinthians 13, 1-3. I love this verse. If I speak with human elegance and angelic ecstasy, but don't love, I'm nothing but the creaking of a rusty gate. If I speak God's word with power, revealing all his mysteries and making everything plain as day, and if I have faith to say to a mountain, jump, and it jumps, but I don't have love, I'm nothing. If I give everything I own to the poor and even go to the stake to be burned as a martyr, but I don't love, I've gotten nowhere. So no matter what I say, what I believe, and what I do, I'm bankrupt without love. You know what it's like to be bankrupt? You're left empty. You're left with nothing. Everything you amass on this world, everything you do, all your good deeds, all the works you put in, they mean nothing if it doesn't come from a place of love. When I talk about our walk with God being deeply rooted in love, and love has to be the foundation, this is why. Because apart from that, God looks at it, and he says, what did you do for me? When did you ever help me? So it needs to come from a place of love. The more we show love, the more we're filled. Love people, treat people differently because you love them. You know, I believe that sometimes we put limitations on God, and we think that maybe God can't do certain things. And you say, well, no, like, I believe God can heal me. I believe God can save me. I believe God can give me everything I ask for. But do you believe that God can forgive everybody? Truly think about it. Do you think God can forgive everybody? You know, it says that nothing can separate us from the love of God. And that word in the Greek, nothing, it means nothing. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing. It doesn't matter if you're a terrorist. It doesn't matter if you're a pedophile. God can forgive you. Why do we put limitations on our God? Why do we make him so small and feel like he doesn't have the power to forgive every single person in this world? You know why? Because we don't have that power within us. We feel hard to forgive people sometimes. So we put our image on God instead of putting God's image on us. But we are called to be made in the image of God, have his character, be in his likeness. So we need to remember, God can forgive anybody. The Bible says in Romans that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That word all in the Greek means all. Everybody. Everybody in this room, the Pope, all those saints, the disciples. The only person on this earth who never sinned was Jesus. You know, I was thinking the other day, the last night actually, I was praying and God asked me, like, what breaks my heart? What breaks God's heart? You know, we're called to have our hearts break for what breaks God's heart. And, you know, I don't think that the sin in the world breaks God's heart. God made a way to conquer that. He sent Jesus so that we can be close to him again and the sin won't separate us. I feel what really breaks God's heart sometimes is what the church is doing and what people are doing. We say we love God. We praise him. And out of that same mouth can come curses, can come this feeling of being discriminatory and not accepting people around us. And you really need to look at your life, and I know I'm guilty of this. So this is a hard message for me to preach because sometimes I don't accept everyone around me. Sometimes I say things that are just totally hypocritical. And I think that breaks God's heart. Because God wants to seek and he wants to save the lost. And how can he do that if the church, his chosen people, the ones who say that we love him, aren't showing love to people around us? Every time we say something mean, every time we say something in front of someone who's not saved, it sets them back. I've talked to people and I have friends who don't want to come into church because they feel like they're going to be judged. They feel like people are going to point out their weaknesses. People are going to say you're a sinner, just like all those signs we saw. That's not the point. You're never going to reach anyone through hate or fear, and I just believe it breaks God's heart so much when he sees us doing that, when he sees us not showing love. So as a church, we need to be showing love to all people. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter who they are. It doesn't matter what they're doing with their life. It doesn't matter in their lifestyle. They're still God's creation. They're still people. And we still need to show them love. Let's close in prayer. Dear Jesus, I thank you for this message of love. I just pray that people that heard it today would just be left feeling that your love is so amazing and so great that we can't help but share it with those around us. God, I ask that even as your spirit moves in this place, God, and the things that you've told us and revealed to us, said in God, that we would just know that we have a duty as a church. We have a calling as City Light Church to represent you truthfully, represent your nature, represent your perfect, perfect love. God, I'm so thankful that you died for me, a sinner. I'm so thankful that you died for everybody in this room, a sinner. God, I'm so thankful that you don't see our sin once we accept Jesus into our hearts, God. You just see your son. And I'm so thankful that that invitation is open to everybody. Everybody. I just want to pray with anybody here today who perhaps hasn't made that commitment to follow Jesus. Maybe you feel like you weren't worthy. Maybe you feel like you weren't good enough to be called a child of God. I'm telling you, that's not true. Every single person he created, he wants to be in a relationship with. He wants to love. He wants to show them love, and he wants to make you have this great, abundant life that you never thought was possible. So if that's you here today, I just ask that you say this prayer. You can repeat it after me. Dear Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know only you can take away my sin. I ask you to come into my heart. I make you Lord and Savior over my life. Thank you for saving me. I choose to follow you all my days. Amen. I just ask, as everyone keeps their heads bowed and eyes closed, that if there's anyone here that said that prayer for the first time, that you would just lift up your hand, acknowledge it. It's important to take that leap of faith in our commitment. Anybody at all? Thank you. Jesus, I just thank you so much for your love. I thank you so much that it's contagious and empowering, God. And I just pray that as we go out this week, we go out into the world, that we would just show love to people, Father. Your great, unconditional, amazing love. Amen.